you have read this before. And yes, it will take up our whole time and plus some, hopefully not too much plus. But it's been awesome to get into the Word with you guys on occasion. I haven't been here in a while. Bungie was waiting for all the people that were offended from the last time to find a new church. No, I'm just kidding. But it wasn't that long ago. But it's great to be here with you guys. I always love to drive into town and visit everyone. It's where I grew up. And we've been up and clean for 13 years. So it's strange to come into Austin and find there's more traffic now than ever. So it's pretty crazy. Why don't we pray? And if you guys hold your fingers there in your Bibles, we'll just come before the Lord again and we'll get into the Word. Lord, I want to thank you for the time of worship that we've had tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for the fellowship even before the worship began. And Lord, just how your Spirit speaks to us, Lord, through others, through the time where we turn our attention to you and worship. And even as we study, Lord, we pray, would you send your Spirit? Lord, would you move upon our hearts and speak to us, Lord? Would we leave here and be encouraged and challenged, Lord? And even in the fellowship time to follow, and Lord, would you use us to minister into the lives of each other? Lord, thank you so much for your love in our lives. Lord, you are amazing, and we just stand in awe of you tonight and just ask you to bless this time and use it for your glory, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the famous artist Michelangelo, the Italian sculptor and painter and architect and poet, lived from 1475 to 1564, and he had this interesting thing that he would do. And if you know anything about Michelangelo, you know that he was made two very famous sculptures. And both, all of those were, of course, out of marble. But he said this. He said, "In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to cut away the rough walls that imprison that lovely apparition to reveal it to the other eyes as mine see it." Isn't that a cool thought? That as he looked at that big block of marble, he could see the sculpture before it was done. He just simply had to chip away all the extra stuff to get to the piece of artwork. You know, when I think about that statement from the famous Renaissance man, I can't help but think that that's how God sees us as believers. He sees us as kind of a piece of block of clay, a piece of marble, a chunk of metal, whatever material you like or can think of. He wants to refine us, sharpen us, cut away some rough edges. And, you know, there's all kinds of art materials out there. There's those that are painters that paint wonderful things upon blank canvases. There's those sculptors that take all kinds of things, mainly clay and other things, to make all kinds of awesome sculptures. There's those writers that use words to sculpt things. There's musicians that use their instruments to express things that they are thinking about. There's woodworkers, there's metal workers. I could go on. But, you know, each of these kind of artists have a certain material that, of course, they work with. And now, listen, we often think of God as the creator, the maker, the designer, because of his work, obviously, in creation. You know, the Bible tells us that the creation itself testifies of who he is in Romans chapter 1. But the Bible tells us all over the place that God is actively involved in our lives. It's not just that he made creation as we stand in awe of it sometimes, but he's actually, and for us as believers, he's shaping us and seeking to make us more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 tells us, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Listen, tonight, we get a glimpse of God's most important artwork. And you know what those materials are, or that material is? People. God wants to take us as his people and shape us. And he looks at us and he sees potential in every one of us. He sees something that he wants to shape in our lives. He wants to make us more like Jesus. God wants to use us in so many ways. But let me just be specific. As we think about God's artwork being people, we're talking first, and this is so important to understand. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're talking about saved people. We're talking about people who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again, have believed upon what Jesus has done and trusted and been saved. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, you've never actually become a piece of building material. You've yet to be, as it says in the book of Jeremiah, that clay upon the wheel. And so I encourage you tonight, you know, if you've never received Jesus, to consider that and say, hey, I need the Lord in my life. That's where it starts. Now, for a lot of us, maybe we've made that choice. And we are that clay, that metal, that piece of wood that's being shaped. And maybe you're here tonight and you're kind of saying, well, you know, in your life right now, maybe you were just saying today, God, what are you trying to teach me? Maybe you've had that prayer. I know I pray this all the time. One of the things I find myself saying is, God, what are you doing in my life? What in the world is going on? I pray, stuff falls apart. Lord, I've been praying and my truck still doesn't work right. What's the deal? I still have mean bosses, even though I'm praying, Lord. What's the deal? Of course, the reality is many of those things he allows for his purpose. And this verse tonight that we're going to actually study, it gives us insight into those questions that we often ask about God. What is he doing? How is he working? What is going on in my life with the Lord? There's actually a remarkable flow of thought in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. And as you zero in there on the 10th verse, I want to just sort of lead up to this because obviously we're jumping into one verse out of many. But, you know, this chapter is Paul speaking to the Ephesians about their past. He's talking to the Ephesian Christians. He tells them in verses 1 through 3 that they lived their lives ruled by the flesh. They were very sinful people, idol worshipers. They had all kinds of issues in their life. Of course, we do as well. And then he goes on in verses 4 through 9 and talks about, it's sort of a contrast. In verses 4 through 9, he talks about how their lives had been changed by the mercy and the grace of God. And here in our text, in verse 10, this is where we find what we're going to study tonight. As we look at verse 10, we observe Paul's sort of pinnacle, powerful statement, an ultimate summary of what God has in mind for every single Christian. And for all of us here tonight, it's a good reminder if you've heard it before. It's a good encouragement to remember that there's three things we're going to see here, and I'll get to those here in a minute, but there's an awesome word that the Lord has for us here. In verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So tonight, we're being encouraged, and this is the title of our message. You're wondering, what is this all about? What are we studying about? Listen, those words there in Ephesians 2:10, tonight, we are being encouraged to be fashionable followers. You might say, wait a minute, fashion? Fashionable followers? I'm not talking about being fashionable in terms of clothing. I'm not talking about being fashionable like Jeremy Valencia, being fashionable in clothing like Mr. Bungie with his button-down shirts, you know, in this style. I'm not talking about being fashionable in terms of clothing. I'm talking about fashion in the sense of it being a verb. You know, the word fashion is the idea of, well, to fashion something, to mold something, shape something. And as fashionable followers, we are literally not meant to forget that we're actually pieces of clay or pieces of wood or metal or whatever you want to think of, and we're being molded and shaped by God into the image of Jesus Christ. We're being transformed. We're being altered. Now, if you look that idea of fashion up in the dictionary, it means to mold into a particular character by influencing or training. So true for us. There's three things that we have to believe in order to be fashionable followers of Jesus Christ. So if you're taking notes, as we think about this idea of being fashionable followers, the first thing and most important thing is that we have to understand and believe that we are God's project. You might think that's kind of a strange thing, but you know that's what the Bible teaches us here tonight. We're going to see it. We are God's project. We're actually his art project. And he's molding us, shaping us, working in our lives, we're going to also have to believe that God has actually a purpose for our lives. And there's purpose that's found here in the middle of verse 10. And then lastly, we're going to see that, well, in order for us to be fashionable followers, we have to realize that there is a plan that God has for our lives. And specifically, the Bible tells us that there are things that God wants us to do as a believer. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And so first, for us to be fashionable followers, we need to believe that we are God's project. Again, look at the first part of verse 10 and notice those first five words in verse 10. For we are his workmanship. You know, the idea here of being God's project is that God desires to mold us, to shape us. If you're taking notes, you can write down Jeremiah 18. God was talking about doing that molding and shaping in the lives of the Jews, of in Israel. But for us individually, he's doing that in our hearts today. He's molding us. He's shaping us. We are clay on the potter's wheel. A lot of us ask the question sometimes, what is God's will for my life? Write down 1 Thessalonians 4:3. You know what God's will is for your life? It tells us there in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. I always like to translate this in a funny way to think about God is pouring our lives through the Brita water filter and purifying us, taking out things that shouldn't be there. And he's interested in making us more like Jesus and refining our character. You know, when it comes to being God's project, it really comes down to us being redesigned and changed. I think when we come to know Christ, we have to understand that while our personality and the way that we are as individuals is unique, there are very, very large and very specific things that God wants to do in our lives. And sometimes he uses all kinds of stuff to mold us and shape us. I'll come back to that. But I want you to zero in there in verse 10 there at the beginning on that word workmanship. You know, the word workmanship refers to a work of art. The original Greek language, I always love this. In the Greek, it's poema. It's where we get our modern word for poem. And the thought there is this, is that God saves us not merely to save us from his wrath, which we totally deserve, but he wants to make something beautiful out of us. See, the idea is that we are his beautiful poem. We are his beautiful work of art. And as God works in our lives, he changes us. You know, it's funny, whenever I think about people that knew me before I was a believer and that know me now, they look at me and go, man, what happened to you? And, you know, what actually led me to even pursuing Jesus was watching your pastor, who was a raging non-Christian and menace to society, get saved and become a responsible, thinking adult. Some of you are like, really? Yeah, you should have known him. And let me tell you, when I started to witness God work in his life, it made me see that God has a plan for everyone. And many times when we don't remember that we're his project, we forget that God is not interested in keeping us comfortable. He is wanting to refine us, challenge us, convict us, mold us, shape us, make us more like Jesus. And Paul's telling us here as believers that we are God's workmanship, his creation, his work of art. And God desires to transform our lives to reveal himself to the world. Many times God's redesign has a lot to do with restoration, restoring things to what they should look like. Some of you watch television shows about how people will find stuff in the junkyard that's totally just crazy, nasty, broken down, bug-filled, mud-covered. And people, you know, on these shows will take those things, whether they be Coke machines or cars or whatever, and they'll restore them like new. You know, God's interested in taking us. Don't be discouraged. If your life has been a wreck with the Lord, it can be restored. God wants to do a great work. And for many of us, there's people around us that their lives are a wreck and they're asking the question, you know, is there anything left for me in this life? Yes, there is. With the Lord, there's restoration, there's renewal, there's redemption. But God desires to redesign us and redesign us and redesign us. Sometimes we're just like, okay, Lord, that's enough. No more. I like who I am. You know, God's never satisfied with us. He wants us to grow more. We're called to be fashionable in our character. And so the fact that we must see here, the thing that we need to come to grips with, is that God is actively molding, shaping, and transforming our lives into something that glorifies Him. You see, Paul, having established the truth that we're His artwork, he points to some needed application in our lives, and even mentioning that we are a living canvas, a living piece of clay, a work of God, it implies that there are things that God is doing in our lives. There are two things that's required for us, I think, in understanding that we're God's project. One is that we need to believe it. Do you believe that God cares about you enough as a Christian, with all your quirks and all of your issues, all of us have issues and quirks, that He's patient and kind enough to continually work in your life and grow you and change you? You know, sometimes we get into despairing mode. We get discouraged by our mistakes and our failures. And we always need to understand God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. He understands who we are. He wants to mold us. He wants to shape us. The other thing about being God's project, and this is the funny one, is we need to actually stay still. Some of you have had the unfortunate experience of taking a two-year-old to the barber. My kids are 11 and 10 now. My youngest ones, and when my son was 2 years old, we decided, hey, let's give this kid a haircut. He needs a professional job here, you know, he's got some weird-looking stuff going on. Let's take him in there, two-year-old kid, put him in the barber's chair. He's totally fine, but the moment he hears a bzzz, he's like, ah! Starts freaking out, you know. I got great photos of this kid, just hair all over his face, tears. He's trying to eat a lollipop. He's screaming his head off, and I'm taking photos of him. Of course, now he thinks it's hilarious. He's just like, that's so funny. Who is that kid? That's you. Oh. He didn't like it when I was taking photos at the time, but a lot of times for us, here's my point in telling you that story, is that sometimes when God is working on us, when He's put us in a place where He's sharpening, sanding, cutting certain things out of our lives, we don't like being in the barber chair. We don't like being in the place where God is working on us. And a lot of times we have to remember, this is how God is working on me. Some of us, we work jobs where we have to go different places and don't know who we're going to work for that day. And sometimes we run into people and we're like, oh no, not another one of those people. Our eyes get kind of big and we get that sort of anxious feeling like, oh man, it's going to be a long day. And a lot of times, there's actually the Lord in that. You know, because He could orchestrate it to where you have nothing but great customers that you go visit all the time. Maybe you work retail, maybe you work in a restaurant, maybe you work in law enforcement. There's so many different ways where we find ourselves saying, why is this happening again? You know, there's always a spiritual answer to that. There's always something the Lord is wanting to teach us in that process. And it's important that we stay abiding in the Lord. As Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And I like to always think of that as just the idea that when we find ourselves in a hard place, that we lean on the Lord. And we look to understand what His purpose is in those things. We are God's work, but sometimes we don't stay still. And so the big question is, here's the big application that we have to ask ourselves. In what ways does God add to His artwork? In what ways does God add color to the canvas or shape to the clay? Or gives some sort of structure to the metal? How does God do this? How does God make the canvas of our life come alive like Bob Ross? Some of you are like, who's Bob Ross? You know, they got that guy on Netflix now. I'm like, Bob Ross is on Netflix. This dude is like living way past his days. I mean, they're still watching him paint, going, cute little trees, you know. How does God do this? Well, look, let me give you a couple things. You can write these down, try to remember. Okay, here's the way that God works on you as God's project. You're a piece of artwork. All of us are works in progress, but what does he do? How do things happen in our life? Okay, let me just tell you this. Trials. That's why James says, rejoice in your trials. Count it all joy. What? Whenever bad stuff happens and difficulties come, I'm supposed to be happy? Some of us don't realize we got sort of Mr. Miyagi'd into marriage. Wax on, wax off, you know. We got married. We're like, oh, I thought this was going to be awesome. It's very hard. What's the deal? Welcome to marriage. It's a trial. It's a blessing, but it's also difficult, but it's so good for us when we learn from the Lord. Trials, you know what else is interesting? Is difficult circumstances. Sometimes we lose our jobs. We don't have the money that we want. We have to give up things we want to do the things we need to do. We go through difficult circumstances. You know, one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with is my son having type 1 diabetes. It was so hard to always be worried about my kid that he's going to pass out and go into a seizure because of his insulin or whatever. And it was just terrible. But you know what was cool? And I'm not even the one that was diabetic. Just freaked me out as a parent. I had to learn to trust the Lord. And, you know, through all that, I'm so glad that I had to walk down that road because I learned so much about the Lord in that difficult circumstance. Plus, I get to buy him lots of chocolate and make sure he eats it, and that's just awesome. Always have a stash of candy on the side. Anyways, you know, the other way that God adds to his artwork is being faithful with the things he's called us to do, even when it's hard or unpleasant. Let me be specific. Some of you have had the experience of stepping into an area of service in the church, and when you were on the front side of it, you were like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to go work with the youth, man. It's going to be great. You know, and you get in there, and like the first couple weeks, it's awesome. Like kids like, oh, we love you. And then all of a sudden, their eyes go, eh. They don't like you. And you sense, why am I making a difference? Is this doing any good? Why am I here? Maybe you're in the children's ministry. Oh, it was so awesome. And then the kids are trying to kill me every week. What's going on? Should I leave? Should I stay? Should I go? No, they're not that bad here. Maybe in my church, but not here. But sometimes it's staying faithful to that thing you're called to do, even when it's difficult. And many times if we give up in the process of it becoming hard, we miss out on the whole reason why God asked us to do it in the first place. You know, another way that God adds to his artwork is discipleship. And all I want to say about that is ask you one question. Guys, girls, everyone here, young and old, listen. Who are you learning how to walk with the Lord from? You know, that's an important question because discipleship doesn't disappear when you all of a sudden get to this point in your Christian life where you know the basics and you're good to go. No, we still need people to speak into our lives. We still need individuals to pour into us and to teach us. We still need, as parents, to learn from those that have gone before us in Christian parenting. Even though our world is worse now than it was then, I don't know, people argue both ways. Listen, Vance Havner, an old preacher, said that our Lord made discipleship hard and lost many prospective followers because he called them, listen, this is so important, he called them to a pilgrimage, not to a parade. To a fight, not a frolic. That's so true. Discipleship is about the pilgrimage of following the Lord, learning from those. Relationships are the best way that God refines us, and discipleship is a part of that. We also, and moving on to the second point, for us to be fashionable followers for the Lord, we need to understand that our lives have a purpose. So notice what it says there at the beginning, or excuse me, at the middle of verse 10. It tells us seven words. It says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created is the idea of recreated, reborn. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when we are recreated in the Lord, when we're born again, everything is new. I remember the first time after I got saved, I walked outside and I looked into the sky and I realized that God made everything. And it blew my mind. I had looked at that sky so many times before, but it was different after I was saved. I said, wow, this is different. What may be an average sky for the day was actually something pretty amazing to me because I'd been born again and I saw it from a different perspective. A lot of times when we're recreated in the Lord, we have new priorities. There's things we want to do, things we don't want to do. There's a whole rearrangement that takes place. And so Paul is basically saying here in that middle of verse 10 that, you know, we've been reborn, we've been recreated in Christ for the purpose of what? Well, the purpose of good works. Good works there refers to beneficial labor or toil. You know, this is so cool because we're not saved. And often when I say this, people kind of think that it sounds harsh, but it's just true. We're not saved to be Christian couch potatoes. We're saved to actually get in the game and to be a part of what God is doing. There are things that God wants us to be a part of. There's beneficial labor or toil that the Lord has for us in our lives. And the thing I want you to see there is it says we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, not from good works. We're not saved from our good works, but believe it or not, we are saved for the purpose of doing good things for the Lord. There are things that God wants to do in us and through us, and this is why Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, write this down, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Good works. We don't do those good works for ourselves, but for the Lord. And there's a purpose that God has for us. These good works are evidence that someone is walking as they've been reborn to walk. You know, a lot of times it's our service and the things we do for the Lord. And when we have the right attitude and there's joy and we're focused and God is using us, it can be a witness to those around us. Well, listen, another part of being a moldable, fashionable follower for Jesus is to be aware and really looking to actively be a part of what God is doing in the fellowship that we belong to. So when we walk in God's purpose for our lives, we're going to grow tremendously. And so here's the other thing about this idea of following and finding out what God wants us to do. What did he save us to do? We're saved for a reason. See, we lose momentum in our Christian lives when we only receive ministry from others, but we don't give ministry. And so be careful. There are times we go through where it's hard and we're receiving ministry, and that's what the church is for. That's where gathering with other Christians is great, even when our lives are hard. But we can't just be satisfied with receiving. There is a way that we can be sharing our good works. As it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, are testimonies to those who don't know the Lord. They can even give us credibility and a platform to witness to those who have never been saved before. So we're God's project. We're saved for a purpose. But the last thing is, fashionable followers, we have to believe that God has a plan for our lives. And again, I want to draw your attention to that last part of verse 10 where it says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beforehand. See, God wants to lead us. He wants to direct us. He has it all figured out. Many times when in our Christian lives, when we just get better and we grow at listening to the Lord and follow his leading, his plan will become clear. We don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to take the steps that he puts in front of us. Sometimes when God shows us his plan, it can be a redirection for us. But God has prepared things for us to walk in, ways for us to go in our lives. Prepared beforehand just refers to him creating something in advance. God has, and the way to think about what Paul's saying is, God has a prearranged package of steps for us to walk in. But you know what's cool about the Lord? Is it sometimes, even if we mess up and we go off track, God is gracious and merciful and loving enough to put us back on the path that we should be on. And I don't know about you, but I've done that. I've sort of, you know, got off track over here and over here. And then, of course, the more I've learned from that, the more I've realized I just need to be led by the Lord. I want to walk in his path because anyway, I'm going to end up coming back here anyways. So I might as well make it easier on myself. See, guys, each of us has an eternally designed personal path, which includes the task, the ability, and the place to serve. There is a path God wants us to walk on. Are we praying about that? Are we praying, Lord, help me to make sure I know the direction that you want my life to go? A lot of times there are very practical answers to that. Sometimes God isn't saying, hey, quit your job and go here, become a missionary in the middle of the jungle in Africa. He wants you to continue to do things that you're doing in the place that you're at, but remember that he's the one that's put you there. And to see the spiritual side of things. There's a path that God wants us to walk. And that has everything to do with being a fashionable follower. Believing that God has a perfect plan for our lives is absolutely essential to walking by faith and not by sight. Learning to listen to the Lord. Shapeable Christians are those that walk in the path of God. How do we discover it? Listen, let me just offer a couple of things. Because when we talk about the plan of God and the specific will of God for our lives, a lot of times there's confusion. There's like, I don't know what I should be doing. And what we need to understand is we need to be people of prayer, talking to the Lord, offering up our steps and our decisions. We need to grow. We need to learn from more mature Christians around us that have discovered and began to walk in the will of God for their life. I think a lot of times we just need to get involved with the body of believers that we fellowship with. Get to know people. The fashionable Christian must trust and walk in God's plan or path, just like that clay or that canvas has to stay put for the artist to work. Let me put some meat to the bones of this idea. A lot of times we say, this job is hard. I want to find a new one. This job doesn't pay enough. I want to go somewhere that pays me more. And we start to look at things from a very practical standpoint when the only thing we should be concerned about is, God, what do you want me to do? Because we could stay somewhere that's hard or that doesn't pay as much because it's God's will and he's teaching us in that place rather than just to think horizontally and make choices based on our own understanding and not based upon the perspective the Lord has. Sometimes God has us in hard places for good reason. See, if we don't trust God for his plan, it's likely we'll go to try to do things on our own and pretty much exhaust ourselves trying to make things happen for ourselves. God's project, he has a purpose for our lives. He has a plan for our lives. You know, as we finish this study and just sort of think, Philippians 1:6 always comes to my mind as an important thing to recognize that goes parallel with this verse. It tells us in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a good work that God's doing in your life, and he's going to complete it. It's an awesome thing to realize that God's not done with us. He has more work that he wants to do. And being a fashionable Christian means being teachable. Again, you know, what we need to ask ourselves, what we need to understand is what are the training grounds for us as believers? Again, I want to just highlight that there are many ways that God trains us. He blesses us with a spouse. We get married. How does God want to refine me? Well, we prayed for spiritual growth and then we had kids. What happened? Well, there you go. Somebody prayed for patience and they had twins. Somebody prayed for growth and, you know, they became parents. Or you know, maybe if you're younger here today, sometimes maybe the training ground is just being parented. Maybe you're having to listen to people that, you know, I remember when I was from like 15 to when I was 19, I remember thinking, man, all these older people, they don't know nothing. That was what I said. I mean, I'm just being honest. And then I got to the point after I got saved and I was in my 20s and I realized, I don't know what I'm talking about. My parents were right. They were right. And it scared me to death, and I thought, you know, I just need to listen. We have to believe that we're a canvas, that we're God's artwork. We have to know that there's an eternal purpose for us here and now, and we have to choose, listen, specifically choose to seek and discover God's path for us and walk that out rather than default to our own will. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek God's kingdom. Follow him. Well, I want to close with this exhortation from the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Peter said this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming or fashioning yourselves, is sort of the same idea, to the former lusts as in your ignorance. See, Peter knew that if we didn't have a spiritual focus, we would default to allowing ourselves to be king, to be queen. See, Peter was telling Christians that even then, that they could either be fashioning themselves to their old life or they could be fashioned to their new life. And when we see areas of our lives that need to change, when it comes to being fashionable followers, I think that way we can relieve a lot of the stress when we see things that come up that say, I'm not a very good communicator. I'm unloving at times. I'm impatient. There's all this stuff that comes at us. We need to remember, God's the one that's refining us. I just simply need to stay put, have my eyes on him, and allow him to change me. Because we're his artwork. God is the author of our faith. We're his piece of artwork. Are you and I allowing ourselves to be worked on? Do we really believe that God is shaping us? These are questions we need to ask. And tonight, the big question is this, as we close, are you a fashionable follower of Jesus Christ? God wants to do a work in our lives. And we always need to be challenging ourselves. Am I going to learn what it is you want me to learn? Am I going to be fashioned, be molded, be shaped the way you're trying to mold me? Let's pray.